Morning, everybody, and it's lovely that you're here. I just hope that the justice can be done for the word that we have. I think there's been a very big misconception about Paul, from the church, in that he's a nasty man and he's got all these rules and everything. And gosh, where is it? You know, here he is, like Rosemary was saying, I give you my heart. You know, I thank God and I remember you in my prayers. I pray consistently. I never stop praying. I love you. I have an appeal on the basis of love. You are very dear to me. I praise God. And that thing that June said about being forgiven, the more you are forgiven, the more love you have. And I think that is probably what drives Paul, is that he has been forgiven much. I mean,
yes, he has.
You know, what in his other life, he was so against Jesus. He was so against Jesus that he was killing the Christian. I mean, how far away, how much zeal can you have against Jesus? You know? And yet, there he is, after his conversion in Acts chapter 9, Jesus speaks to Paul and says, you know, right, let's get this right. Okay, you have so much zeal, let's do the right thing. And suddenly, within 3 days, he was blind and became, it was like 3 days of, you know, being buried. And he's risen again with Christ. And that's what we see, just this living man with this zeal for Jesus. And he has so much zeal and so much love that he just oozes with it. In Colossians there, at the end of the first chapter, we have Paul saying something like, I have so much in me, that is Jesus within me, I can't control the power. Jesus is oozing so much out of me that I just can't stop. So where is that? The end of Colossians. Have I got the right idea there? End of chapter 1. 28. Yeah, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. This part, to this end I labour, struggling with all his energy, with all Jesus' energy. Paul was struggling with energy. I mean, you know, that's how much he was oozing Jesus, you know, struggling with energy.
That's the spirit in him.
You know, can we have that spirit in us today? You know, have you experienced that zeal? I think I have, you know, and I think if you let God, that will come out, this zeal, this energy. And then it goes on, which is so powerfully works in me. It's a power, okay, and we have access to that power. Now, Colossians talks about this power within us, and I think that is the whole heart of Colossians. Christ in you. It actually has those words, Christ in you. Now, Paul goes on to say that this is a mystery, but really, was it a mystery? It was a mystery in that it had been squashed. Okay, it had been covered over. The mystery that Christ is in you was always there. It's in Isaiah, for one example. And we'll hopefully, if I remember, visit that. But anyway, let's see. Now, Job brought us to Rome, okay, with that shipwreck. What a great way to learn a lesson, you know. Some people have just gone out of their way and made movies and stuff like that for our learning. It really is a blessing. And it's great that we can share it that way. You just learn so much instantly, don't you, with pictures and sounds. So good. Now, Jo told me that she was going to talk about a shipwreck in a very exciting way using YouTube, and she went to so much trouble to have this happen. Thank you, Jo. You know, she was talking about bringing televisions and DVDs and everything, but, you know, as the week has gone on, it's progressed into, I don't know, I can't see any television or DVD, so well done, Jo. And so she got me excited about looking at the shipwreck, and I found a site that talks about Paul's shipwreck has been discovered. I thought, oh, that sounds quite interesting. There was this man, he was a crimes investigator from America, Los Angeles, and he was also a Christian. And he went over to Malta and those places, and he thought, right, I'm going to, you know, treat this like I would a crime and try to piece it all together. He had all the information there about four things. And the four things were to locate whether, you know, is this true? Is this true history? Well, it was just amazing what he found. He found, let me see. There were four points that he was looking for. And it took him 10 years to piece this all together. So he's pretty determined. Okay, so in Acts 27:28, there were four factors to find the location of Paul's ship. It was a bay with a beach. It was number one, a bay with a beach. We actually saw the bay with a beach, didn't we? Yes. There was a reef or a sandbar where two seas meet. Okay, so how do you know that two seas meet? I've seen waters meet. They have different colours and there's something happening in the middle. So he's looking for that. And because they're meeting, it must form something, you know, a mountain of sand or something. Okay, so that was the sandbar. Okay, the seabed was to be 90 feet deep, and the sailors didn't recognize the place. Okay, so this guy, he put that all together, and over the 10 years, he found, you can find this if you put in YouTube, Paul's shipwreck discovered. It was put on the CBN News, and they actually recovered. Now, you know how the reading said there was four anchors went down at the back? They recovered the four anchors. And so they are there for people to go and have a look at. And the reason why the sailors or nobody recognised the place is because it was the back side of Malta that wasn't, you know, it had natives there. It wasn't the popular, you know, the built up area. It was around the back side.
Shows where it is again.
Whoa.
No, she didn't, she marked it.
Malta?
Oh, yeah.
There.
Yeah,
not okay. Now, so, they were going from Caesarea. All right, they wanted to go to Rome. But because of the bad weather, they were tossed around for 2 weeks in the sea. Okay, so they got really lost and they ended up on the backside of Malta. Yeah, so that's why it wasn't recognisable, because it was the wrong side of the island.
interesting. And there are the
four. Those are the two ways to England. One's through the Red Sea, and through the canal,
through
and then across
to England,
and then across, go across to the south side, the bottom side of Malta. And that's when the ship captain said, there's Malta over there.
Ah,
so we saw the back island.
That's where,
back of the island.
Yeah, and it's actually in a museum, these four anchors on Malta.
Oh, Malta.
Oh. Somewhere around there, yeah. When you look at, I won't spend any time, but I can look into my notes and find out exactly which museum it is. And they're just there, and they were saying, you know, people just walk by not realising the history that's behind
there.
But they survived all that time. And probably because people hadn't realised, they were thinking, they were looking in the wrong place.
Yeah, they were. They were. Because there is a place called St. Paul's Bay. And that's where everybody says, oh, that's where the ship was wrecked, but it's not. It's not there. It's way away from there.
Well, it's much more clever than that and preserves things well. And make it work to find them.
Okay. Now, getting on to Philemon. Well, June, what a lovely reading that is. I mean, it just oozes with love, doesn't it? It's just a love letter. I send my heart, like Rosemary said. I mean, it's just amazing. How can we miss that and say that Paul is a tyrant? Never, never is he a tyrant. He is just so loving and giving. Okay, so we have Paul is an extremely keen servant of Jesus. His life was turned upside down and dedicated to God's Son. His impact on Christianity is absolutely enormous. During his ministry, he writes 14 epistles that become part of our Bible. That's almost triple anybody else has written. He went on at least 5 missionary journeys, 5 journeys to spread the word about the gospel. His journey takes him to the known world at that time. Okay, now, I'm not going to use this. Look, this is a bit more extensive than that, but where all those red dots are is pretty much the area that we're looking at. Okay, so that's all up around there. There's Italy here. Italy, Greece, I mean, that's an enormous area, you know. And then we've got seas between, okay, so we've got, this is Israel here, and the journey over to Rome, past Malta, that way. Okay, so that's the area. How do I change the
arrow key. Right-hand side.
Arrow. Oh, yeah, down.
There you go.
Oh, okay. So, when we're looking at Colossae, all right, Colossae, now, if you can't see that, think of, you know, we've got Egypt down here with the Nile coming through, and, you know, that rabbit ears of, what is it, the red sea?
Yeah.
Is it the red sea?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the left-hand side one points right up to Colossae.
Yeah.
Okay, across the water, and that's Colossae in the middle of this piece of land here, which is called Asia Minor in old times. What's it called today? Turkey. Okay, so it's in the middle of Turkey where Colossae is. And Colossae is very close to Ephesus and another place called Periopolis or something, and Lacedaemonia. Okay, so they're all over there in Turkey. What's the next map? Don't know. Okay,
So this is a close-up of Colossae, Macedonia, and Teros. Poplis. Teropoplis. Okay? It does look very hilly, doesn't it? I know. And actually, Colossae is 100 miles in from the coast. Okay? So to travel from Rome over to here,
is that there?
Right, so I've got the pointers here. So over here would have taken about 3 months. Okay, and there's two seas. Two seas between. You're going all the way across Italy, all the way across the ocean, the Adriatic Sea. Then you've got all the way across Greece, across the Aegean Sea, and then 100 miles inland. Oh. Yeah, that's right. That is right. Okay, so the missionary journeys that Paul went on was Asia Minor, Turkey, Syria. Where's that, Joe? I can see it. Okay, so Syria, Greece, Italy, Spain. Where's Spain? Up there. Where's Spain?
Off the toe.
Yeah,
across there.
Yeah, over there. See, I've not gone to Europe, so very difficult for me. And even it's suggested that he went to Britain. Now, that must be over here. And other places. Okay, countless cities. And he trained others in the Word of God to do the same. Okay. During his service to God, he spent at least 5 total years in jail. He's whipped and beaten lots of times. He miraculously survived a stoning. Who stoned him, by the way? The Jews. It was his fellow... Pharisees and Jews that stoned him. He endured being shipwrecked, that we can explore. But look, you know, is that enough to turn you away from God? Isn't that enough? You know, the whippings and the beatings and the prisons. I mean, you know, that's enough to make you into a hard person, surely. No, it doesn't have to be that way. That made him into the loving, caring person that he was. Okay, so that's a really big lesson for us. It doesn't matter what we've been through. You know, Paul went through terrible things, and yet he came out the most loving person ever. He remained faithful to the end. A truly remarkable person. Okay, so... we've got. Alright, so after the Damascus experience, you know, he wasn't really welcomed after he changed his mind about Jesus. You know, people were not liking him around, and actually the brothers saved his life by rescuing him and taking him quietly down to the port and sending him off to Tarsus to get away from... they wanted to kill him, okay?
He was suspicious of him.
Oh, you... very... anyway, so he stayed away from the Christian church for as many as 10 years. Long time. It was a long time. He stayed in Tarsus where he was brought up. Tarsus... is... I don't know. Where's that? Okay, so Tarsus is around here. Is that right?
Down here.
So he was right away from Jerusalem anyway. And that was called, that area, Israel, was called Palestine. Am I right there? Palestine is Israel. Yeah? Good. Okay, so he's out of Palestine. Thank you for that. I just not very good. Okay, later, Paul was invited by Barnabas to guide the Gentile church in Antioch. Here, okay? So Paul and Barnabas go to Antioch. Then God called Paul and Barnabas to spread the gospel in the Mediterranean world. Where's that? Here? I think that's here. Anyway, what happened was that there was all these people that weren't Jews becoming Christians, and this was becoming quite a problem. I mean, you know, they weren't circumcised. And this led to the Jerusalem conference in chapter 15 of Acts. And what was the result of that? Circumcision is not necessary. Faith rather than circumcision is what is needed. Okay, then Paul returned to his mission work and he wrote the letters that are now part of the New Testament, and he visited and trained younger men. Now, after nearly 20 years, okay, so he's down there 10 years and he did 20 years of mission work, okay, so we're looking at 30 years have gone on. 20 years. After 20 years, he returned to Jerusalem. Well, he'd been away for, say, 20 years. Still, there was a riot. But what was the problem this time? Wherever Paul goes, where there's Christians and all that, there's he nearly gets killed. What was the problem? It was what Misty talked about last month. Was it because he invited a Gentile into the synagogue? Was that what it was? I think it was.
Where do we find that?
When he returned to Jerusalem, I haven't got the quote yet. Because I wasn't going to spend time on it. Just going to have you believe it, Margaret. Okay, we can look at that later. Paul was kept safe in prison by the Roman governors in Caesarea. And then 2 years later, he ends up going to Rome. Okay, so that's where it brings us up to the end of Acts. So what happens to Paul after that? Well, he doesn't live much longer. And we find out in the letters that we will be expounded next time we're here, in the letters to Timothy and Titus, that he was released from prison and then rearrested and then beheaded during the reign of Nero. So that's something that's coming up next week. Now, we all know that, well, 2 weeks. Paul was nothing to look at. Okay, but his letters were impressive. It's been said that Paul was short, scrawny, crooked-legged, big nose, bald-headed, with one brow.
Who made that one?
Anyway, so when they read these, you know, lovely letters, they thought, you couldn't write anything like that, for goodness sake. And so there was this contention. But Paul went and he could preach to everyone. He went first to the synagogues and preached to the Jews and the God-fearers there. okay, which was the term for the Gentiles that were allowed into the synagogue.
God fearers. And he also preached to the general population.
Okay, so there was this funny looking little man with these wonderful things to say. What a great way for God to get the word out and say that everyone's accepted and don't take people by appearances. Wow.
I don't like that description.
Don't you? And it really upset a lot of people.
He's a big, strong man.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where I got that, but it does actually...
It's because of the reference to his bodily presence being contemptible.
It could just be more of his presence, his speaking ability in front of people, because there's frescoes in the catacombs in Rome with pictures of Paul, and he looks quite decent.
That's nice.
But that could be artistic interpretation.
It's fairly close to the time.
Yeah, how many people do you know in this real life, I can think of two or three who are very, very, very wonderful in their presence, in their presentation, in their writing, but are very, very ordinary people in their
presence. Yeah. Doesn't Saul mean Paul? His name was changed from Saul to Paul, wasn't it? Saul
I think the name Paul does come from small.
Mm-hmm. So his letters were forceful and impressive. That's from 2 Corinthians 10:10. That's what's important. 2 Corinthians 10:10. His letters were forceful and impressive. Paul would move on, leaving a new congregation to build on the foundations he laid and to reach other areas. Okay, we find that in 1 Thessalonians 1:4-10. So he just laid the foundations and moved on. Okay, he gave the skills to that new group of people. He didn't stay there. Okay, he spread himself
That's
around.
That's called an initiator.
Initiator?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could be. Yeah. In the letters to the Colossians, we read that Paul was in prison with Epaphras, Onesimus, and Tychicus. Now,
excuse me, can I just ask a question?
Yes.
Why did they say his speech was contemptible in 10:10?
His speech was awfully impressive.
For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible.
Well, it's not impressive at all.
Defect or whether it's just that his delivery is boring, do you?
So his letters, were...
But in the NIV, it says that his speaking amounts to nothing, so it's really a judgment on the fact they aren't agreeing with what he's even commenting on the way in which he speaks.
On the other hand, if you just go a bit further, in verse 11 it says, these people who are criticising me should realise that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present.
I think the critics, when he turned up, they said, well, you're not the Paul that we imagined. From your letter.
What was that quote you just
spoke? 2 Corinthians 10:11. Yeah, it goes on.
You'd hardly call his speech on the hill.
Because we're reading it.
I'm wondering whether
we read it the way that he wanted
to. Maybe he had a weak voice.
And that might have been the
Would it be better with a microphone?
Yeah. I'm seriously suggesting that if a person stands up and talks and that they cannot be heard properly, then that's not very impressive. On the other hand, if they can write like he could write.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the King's Speech. I saw that the other night, you know, and he couldn't deliver what he wanted to say, you know.
And he was a chosen vessel.
Yeah.
Why would God choose somebody? And why did he choose it? For his ability to write.
Deal.
Deal. Deal. Because that's his legacy. His writing is the legacy.
And it's still around today too.
Well, obviously,
it's not the man himself, is it?
No, but obviously he had to have this special talent because that's how the early church got itself out there.
Yes, because God used that.
And you can't see his impediments
in
the writing.
That's right.
He had that sign on his side too. Exactly, yeah.
It could also be that when he was with them, he was preaching. He was talking about how to live positively with love and inclusiveness and to esteem others better than yourself. And when he was writing, he was dealing with problems and sounding much more forceful and so forth. And those who wanted elevated positions were considering his speech about being the lowest, the servant, to be contemptible teaching or speaking. So how do you know whether, like Beth said, it's the content they're objecting to or the actual speaking? Because he wouldn't have been talking about the same subject when he's there.
Yeah.
With letters, he's responding to specific difficulties.
And maybe that made him, you know, able. It made the other ecclesias just be self-sufficient, you know. They could fulfill that role, like he wasn't. They had his gift of information.
They had confidence to ask him questions, which we now know, because of recent scholarship, I suppose, and research. But in the days when I was a very young girl, that talk about him being hard and cruel was. That was around, of course, must have been around for centuries before that, because people thought he was hard on saying women have to be silent and blah, 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 blah. But now that research has opened up new avenues of looking at that sort of thing. Now we understand it better. And he was answering questions in his letters. So they had the confidence to ask him questions.
Yes, and it was revealing this mystery that wasn't really a mystery. Okay, it was only a mystery because it had been downtrodden. So, yeah.
It's interesting that Moses couldn't speak.
Yeah,
he asked God to give him a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
So you'd think that if Paul had really bad difficulties, there would have been someone who could have stepped in, wouldn't you?
Although, I don't know about saying he wasn't a great speaker, because in Acts 14, when Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey were in Lyconium, there they were speaking, and it said that the people said the gods have come down to us in human form. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Well, I don't know that you get a crowd calling him Hermes, the Greek god of if he's a big deliverer.
You know, he'd be speaking with that zeal and that passion. Jesus coming through. Okay, so getting back to the letter of Colossians, we read that Paul was in prison with Epaphras, Onesimus, and Tychicus. I'm going to stumble on that. All right, now these three men were from around the region of Colossae. And So this has given reason for some scholars to think, well, maybe these letters weren't written in Rome, you know. How can, like, those three people, what are they doing all the way over there? Yeah. You know, and they think, well, Paul had trouble in Ephesus, which is nearby, okay, and he could have been under arrest in Ephesus. Just a thought. But, yet, all roads, now this is the title, all roads lead to Rome, right? All roads lead to Rome. And to travel to Rome was not out of the question. Actually, people did it all the time. And there is a grave of a merchant in around Colossae, and it states, must be bragging, that he visited, came back from Rome 72 times.
Oh.
So, I mean, you know, that was pretty big.
Well, Rome built roads, though, didn't they?
Absolutely.
Yes. Same with any conquering country.
Yeah.
Russia built roads all over Ethiopia.
Exactly.
That was wonderful, but they did it so they could get down into the middle.
So at least travel was nothing out of the ordinary. The Roman roads were the finest known. They were not exceeded until the railways came in the 19th century. So they were pretty well, you know, used. They were busy, well-maintained imperial roads, well-equipped with halts for changing chariots and horses. There were inns and hostelries along the way, offering rest and refreshments for the traveller. Wow! And a special police force was responsible for protection of the road against attacks of brigands. The marvellous network of roads throughout the vast empire was a masterpiece of Roman skill and organisation. And to top this off, the Greek language was universal and contributed to the speedy spread of Christianity and Jewish communities. So it was just populated because there was access by these wonderful roads that came from Rome and went to Rome.
They must have had a lot of ships too, Deb. If you think of the water between those
two. Oh, that's right.
They wouldn't have gone.
Well, it's probably, you know,
had a very efficient ferry service.
On the hour.
And roads.
Okay, now, I want to look at Colossians, because how can we do Colossians without even looking at it properly? Now, the main character, I would say, in Colossians was Epaphras. Because Epaphras had this whole thing happen, this whole letter happen. Now, Epaphras probably learned about the gospel from Ephesus, okay? Because now Paul, this is one of the places that Paul never even got to. He never got to Colossae, where the Colossians were. He never visited there. And so, as you can, you can't see on that, but Ephesus was just about 12 miles away from Colossae. Okay,
Paul's sister ecclesia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there was a lot of, you know, correspondence between. And actually, when this letter to the Colossians was written, it actually says, give this letter to those in Thessalonica and Ephesus, okay, and get their letters as well. So there was great circulation of letters going on. Now, it has been said that Epaphras was Epaphroditus, mentioned in Philippians and elsewhere. Now, Epaphroditus Now, this sort of makes sense because Epaphroditus was a really, really good mate with Paul. You know, they were soul buddies in spreading the gospel. So Epaphroditus could have had a relationship with Paul in that we see that for some reason Epaphroditus goes to Rome and we don't see him coming out of Rome. The next thing we know, he's in prison. And look, what happened there? But maybe he just stayed on being a good friend of Paul. Paul was feeling old. I don't think he was that old. I think he was, what, 60 something?
I thought he was in his 60s.
Absolutely. And he was old, and he was needing someone to be with him. And who was looking after him? It was Onesimus was looking after him. Okay, but Paul was saying, look, I can't keep, as much as I'd like to keep Onesimus, I'm sending him back. Okay, and maybe Epaphras thought, well, gosh, Paul, you need somebody to look after you. I will stay on. Maybe. But anyway, what happens is he stays there because he's then a prisoner. Then we've got Tychicus, is also discussed. He takes the letter back with and accompanies him with Onesimus. Okay, so today, there's the map, same as there. Okay, and that there is Colossae today. Okay, it's actually been there's a lot of earthquakes over in Turkey. We hear about them today. It's not there anymore, but you can see this lump, this hill. That is Colossae. That is yet to be excavated.
Wow.
That is ruins under there, the city of Colossae. So exciting. And guess what? Today, as we speak, there are Australians over there digging it up. Northern Territory Australians.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so that's pretty exciting. Yeah, so they're finding the ruins there of Colossae. And what else have I got? Oh, just lots of verses. We won't worry about those. I've got a picture of Epaphras. There he is. Okay. So that must have been off some, vase or artwork or something. Wait, it looks.
Mural.
A mural? Maybe a mural. Okay, what I'm going to do now is look at Colossians. Now, because it probably takes about 15 minutes to read it through, and it's pretty boring just reading it through, just persevere. And I thought about this and I thought, how can I do it fast? And I thought, there's so many good things in there, and maybe we don't need to look at the bad things. Okay, it says, don't do this, 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 and this, but do this. So I've left out the don't do's and put in the do-do's. Another thing that I've done is that there's greetings. Okay, it starts off with a greeting, ends with a greeting. I don't want to end with a greeting, it's just sort of stale. So I put all the greetings up at the front. Then I've also moved the rules of Christian household living. I've moved that up a bit. And I've put all the things about Jesus in after that in a big lump. And then I've ended with some nice thoughts. Now, it's all there. Okay, so you can try and follow it. where did that come from? And I don't agree. That's all right at the end, because it's discussion time. Okay. So here we go. You can follow it if you like, starting with the greetings. Okay. Epaphras sends greetings to you. That's who brought the message to Paul and was staying on in prison with him. Epaphras sends greetings to you. He prays you will stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Luke, the physician, greets you, as does Demas. This is that right at the end. And fellow prisoner Aristarchus. Give my greetings to the Lacedonians, to Nympha and the church in her house. Greet Archippus or Kippus. I'm sending Tychicus. He will let you know what's happening here and offer encouragement. Onesimus, who is from Colossae, will be accompanying Tychicus. Mark, the cousin of Barnabas and Justus, who are circumcised, may pop in. They are on the right track. Welcome them when they come. I, Paul, write this letter. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Now we go back to the beginning. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, to those in Christ Jesus at Colossae, grace and peace from God our Father. Now we go on to the house rules. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your loving husbands. Fathers, encourage your children. Children, obey God-fearing parents. Servants, obey with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as if serving Christ. Masters, treat your servants fairly. Be consistent and thankful in prayer. Also pray for us to declare the mystery of Christ. Walk in wisdom with outsiders, using your time with them well. Speak graciously and thoughtfully when answering. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love for all the saints, we haven't ceased thanking God for the hope laid up for you in heaven. The gospel is bearing fruit and increasing everywhere. You first heard and understood the truth about God's grace from Epaphras. Epaphras told us of your love in the Spirit. And since receiving this wonderful message from Epaphras, we continually thank God to show you how to work worthily, fully pleasing God, bearing fruit and increasingly knowing God. You may be strong with all his power and glorious might. With all his power and glorious might, enduring patiently and joyfully, remembering to thank God of your inheritance through Jesus. And then we talk about Jesus for a long bit. All things hold together because of Jesus. He is the head of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. In everything he is preeminent. In Jesus, all the fullness of God dwells. Through Jesus' blood, God reconciles all things in heaven and on earth. Jesus makes us holy and blameless and above reproach before God if we continue in faith, not shifting from the hope proclaimed in all creation. Now I rejoice in my sufferings, says Paul. I became a minister to fully reveal the mysteries hidden for generations. How great among the Gentiles are the riches of this mystery. The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, dear faithful, be exuberant in thanksgiving, just as you were taught by Epaphras. Walk in Christ Jesus, rooted and built, and established in the true faith. In Christ the whole fullness of the deity dwells, and you have Christ in you, who is the head. In him you were circumcised, being buried with him in baptism, and raised with him powerfully by God. God made you alive together with Jesus, having forgiven your trespasses, nailing them to the cross. Therefore, let no one judge you with rules for food, drink, festivals, new moons, Sabbaths, asceticism, angels, visions, and circumcision. you only need to hold fast to Jesus, the head, from whom the whole body, that is the church, is nourished and knitted together. Only God can make you grow. You have been raised with Christ. Seek the things above, where Christ is. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Christ is all and in all. Practice compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And above all, put on love. This binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let Christ's peace rule in one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Help one another in all wisdom. Sing spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay. So, that mystery that Christ is in us was known. It was known for ages. It's in Isaiah 54, verses 1 to 5. And it's repeated again in Acts 15, 16 to 17. Now, the way that it's written in Acts chapter 15, 16 to 17 makes me think that maybe it was a song. Okay, a lot of... Because they didn't have writing, a lot of the people remembered what the truth was in song. And so if I look up Acts 15, 16 to 17, yes. Acts 6, 15. It says, after this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord. And all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for the ages. Okay, it's mentioning the Gentiles. It's not just the Jews, it's the Gentiles. And they would have sung that. There was another part in Colossians that was a song. Just forgotten where it was. But it's written like poetry. And when it's written like poetry... What about it?
What verses?
Oh, 15. Chapter 15, 16 to 17.
Oh, the other way.
And, yes. And you can see it's just like a little insert there. It's written like poetry. Yeah.
In my version, it's all in large capitals.
Is it? Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
You want a glass of water,
Ken? Yeah. So, yeah. And the songs back then were, Am I wrong there? It's not Gothic songs, is it?
They chanted.
They would have chanted. And that was part of their learning. So, spiritual songs, and helping one another. All right. So, Christ all in all, we just sort of looked at that at the beginning, what does it mean even nature shows Christ. I mean, you can look around and see, you know, the goodness of God and everything in nature. I mean, like it says in Romans, there is no excuse for people to disregard God and His Son. And I just think it's really wonderful that we have such a personal experience that God has said that that He lives in us. You know, that's where He is. He's not out there as a ruler. He's with us. And if we let Him, His will be done instead of ours. Anything else? And it says, and another big thing in that is the wives submitting, it's just mentioned there.
Really?
Yeah, that's a topic on its own.